A Mount Allison researcher is the lead author of a study that has found DDT in the sediment of New Brunswick lakes and the flesh of New Brunswick brook trout over 50 years after the synthetic pesticide was sprayed extensively over the province's forests. At his lab in the Gairdner Building at Mount Allison, Josh Couric points to an old hand-colored map of the province that shows where and for how many years the province sprayed the pesticide DDT in hopes of wiping out the spruce budworm. Most of the central and northern parts of the province are colored in.
So we've digitized maps like this for the dozen insecticides that we've applied across New Brunswick between the 1950s and 1990. So during that period, New Brunswick and its forestry stakeholders ran arguably the world's largest aerial insecticide spray program. So we sprayed a lot of pesticides all across New Brunswick. 97% of our forests have received at least one treatment of an insecticide, 97%. So that's a shocking number. In terms of DDT, roughly 50% of our forests have received anywhere from one application to over 20 applications between 1952 and 1968.
Nice. And so, lots of little bags of mud.
Yeah, many boom.
Bags of mud. And so
over in the fridge and freezer section of the lab, Couric looks through loads of bagged and labeled sediment samples, as well as dozens of frozen brook trout. They were collected by Couric, as well as some Mount Allison students, at five remote lakes in the north and central parts of the province, where the provincial DDT spray program was concentrated. The team has also collected samples from two lakes outside the sprayed region in southern parts of the province, including Fundy National Park. That allows the team to detect levels of DDT that might have arrived due to global atmospheric movements versus the high concentrations applied by airplane in New Brunswick over about a 20-year period in the 50s and 60s. The findings were published Monday in the peer-reviewed and open-access PLOS One scientific journal.
50% of the forests in our province received at least one treatment of DDT. And when we look at the brook trout in our five lakes from the areas that were sprayed with DDT, the concentration of DDT in their muscle tissue, the fillet of the brook trout, it's on average 10 times above ecological guidelines.
Given the history of spraying in New Brunswick, and also that DDT is known to be a persistent organic pollutant, Couric wasn't exactly surprised to find evidence of the chemical in New Brunswick lakes and fish. It's the extent of what his study found that shocks him.
What I'm really surprised about, and what I've learned over the past roughly 5 to 10 years in studying DDT in this province, is how widespread it is. When you can say that 50% of a province in Canada is polluted with a contaminant, that's a shocking number. And it's arguably, you know, we're seeing measures that are some of the highest in North America. And that's 60, 70 years after we stopped using DDT.
Couric says that even after all those decades, there's enough DDT in lake sediments to continue spreading throughout the ecosystem.
We tend to view lake sediments as a sink for pollution. And sort of we think about them almost as out of sight, out of mind. What's happening here now is that there's so much legacy DDTs in the sediments of these lakes that lake sediments are no longer acting as a sink for DDTs, but now a source of DDTs to both the aquatic and the terrestrial environment. And so an insect that lives in the mud hatches from the lake, and then a bird or a bat can eat that insect. And so now there's an aquatic to terrestrial link with pollution that we know is widespread in our province.
Couric is not a human health researcher and says that while DDT levels he's found in New Brunswick fish are an ecological concern, Health Canada does not consider them a serious risk to humans. Couric still advises some caution to New Brunswick's roughly 50,000 anglers, many of whom report brook trout as their number one fish to keep.
There are Health Canada guidelines on the concentration of DDT in wild foods like fishes, and our fish are all below those human health guidelines. But exposure, I think, is how you want to think about contaminants in the environment. We know that DDT is a probable carcinogen in laboratory studies of mammals, like small mice and rats. It causes tumors in their livers. And there's a lot of DDT in our waters. It's high in our fishes. I don't think you want to be eating too many brook trout. Now, if you are going to eat a brook trout, what I would suggest is follow the fish consumption guidelines that the province produces and think about releasing the larger fish and maybe keeping a few of the smaller ones to eat. We generally know that smaller fish contain less contaminants than larger fish.
New Brunswick's enthusiasm for DDT in the 50s and 60s is somewhat forgotten now, but the extensive use of the synthetic pesticide to battle the spruce budworm was documented by biologist Rachel Carson in her seminal book, Silent Spring, which includes a chapter focused on the effects of DDT spraying on the Miramichi River system and its salmon population. A chance conversation at a dinner party decades after Silent Spring was published would lead Keurig to continue what Carson started, documenting the long-term downstream effects of large-scale pesticide use.
There was a eureka moment. I was at a dinner party years ago, and there was a marine biologist who was there, and we were just chatting about research. And he said, he's a bit older than I was, and he said, you must know a lot about DDT in the province, given that Chapter 9 in Rachel Carson's Silent Spring was titled Rivers of Death. And it was all about our use of DDT and rivers in New Brunswick in our forests. And when he mentioned that to me, I was new to the province. I just started my professorship here at Mount Allison. My mind just kind of got excited, and I knew immediately that this is something that I should look into.
Keurig's lab, the Environmental Change and Aquatic Biomonitoring Lab at Mount Allison, studies legacy pollution and stressors.
Most pollution, it's not acute, meaning it's not like a nuclear bomb going off in a lake. It gradually builds up over time, and you have to have a long-term perspective, long-term data sets to really know how our pollution or environmental change like climate warming has affected the ecosystem. You've got to study times before the pollution, during the pollution events, and then years after it to really understand how these complex aquatic systems behave.
Keurig says he hopes the takeaway from the recently released study is not just about hindsight, but about present day and future considerations as well.
I think society needs to be aware that our kind of broad application of synthetic chemicals has consequences. Often those consequences are unknown. So we don't apply DDT now, but there are other contaminants like salt that we apply to roadways and sidewalks that we know harm aquatic life and fundamentally alter the way that our freshwater systems work. Glyphosate is an herbicide that we use a lot of in New Brunswick, and we also apply it broadly. And it's not, it's a pesticide. It doesn't persist nearly as long as DDT, and so it has different properties, but it's still a synthetic chemical that we're applying all over the place. And I know as an environmental scientist that if you apply toxins and contaminants when they're widespread in the environment, their effect is not zero, but it is something. It's just, have the studies been done that help us to understand what those real environmental effects are.
Keurig says he hopes what he and his fellow researchers have discovered about the DDT legacy in New Brunswick will help the people of the province and their leaders make better decisions in future.
The study is a great reminder that we as a society have to do things better. We can't be broadly applying substances that we know are harmful to living organisms. And we stopped doing that with DDT in Canada roughly in the 70s, but there are lots of other contaminants and pollutants that we still to this day apply broadly. So I think this is a wake-up call. The fact that something we applied over 70 years ago can still be found in modern ecosystems at such high concentrations and throughout the province, it should shock everyone into trying to do things better.
That's Josh Couric, a Mount Allison professor and lead researcher in a new study published Monday, which documents the continued presence of DDT in New Brunswick lakes and fish 50 to 70 years after it was sprayed across 50% of the province's forests. The study found that on average, brook trout within the former spray zone have DDT levels that are 10 times above ecological guidelines.
This is Erica Butler reporting for CHMA Sackville and the Local Journalism Initiative.